Hey Potters, welcome to episode 297 of Cospod, the podcast for all things cosplay.
Yay.
We are melting out here.
Even though it's fall. Please hear
today,
those air quotes.
As we are recording this, it is the first official day of the fall equinox and our high is 98 degrees. What even is this?
For all you late 90s, early 2000 babies.
Oh, also that's in Fahrenheit for our worldwide viewers.
Yeah.
It's not Celsius. That's Fahrenheit.
We would be very concerning if we were 98 degrees Celsius.
We would not be alive if it was 98 degrees Celsius.
Which is funny because we've had like a couple of weeks ago, like it was like mid 70s. It was fabulous. We're supposed to get back down to like the low 80s next week. So fingers crossed.
Yeah. I look forward to the lower temperatures, not just so that obviously you can go out, say, on your patio and work on cosplay, which is something I prefer to do where I can, when there's not gobs and gobs of pollen outside like mm-hmm. there is right now. But also because that's the time when you can go out and get photo shoots done.
Yeah.
And not melt in your cosplay, because you want to have like pristine pictures as much as you can of your cosplay. You don't want to be dripping sweat or have your makeup basically running down your face, and it's really hard to do that when it's 98 degrees outside.
Right. Or even simple things like casting resin, because it is so temperature and humidity sensitive. Funny enough, lately I've been looking at trying to find, like, I've seen them called resin ovens, where you basically put your piece of resin in there and it just mm-hmm. has a nice controlled temperature setting, so that way you don't have mm-hmm. to worry about all of those weird outside influences messing with your project. I was like, yep. At this point, because Texas is being Texas, I might consider get one of those.
I mean, if you could do that and then combine it with what is basically like a pressure cooker.
Yeah.
Which the whole point of those is not obviously to make anything blow up, but pressure cookers are used with resin casting because it helps to eliminate the bubbles, the air bubbles that you get, which is probably one of the biggest downsides to resin casting. If you don't mix it thoroughly, yes, but gently so that you're not whipping air into it. It's not like, you know, mixing butter or cream like when you cook. If you mix it too fast, you get air bubbles, and then it cures with the air bubbles in it, and usually that's not the effect you're going after, unless you're going after like one of those paperweight things that has all the air bubbles in it, then that's okay.
Yeah, it's almost like this is the same thing that you do with a meringue. You almost have to fold the mixture in order to get it nice and soft and smooth. Otherwise, if you end up doing too much whipping and stirring, then you get the bubble effect. Mm-hmm.
And even then, sometimes with the cast, it'll develop air bubbles. Mm-hmm. So you have to take like a little toothpick and go in and pop them as it's curing so that they don't come out in the final product. And even then, like, you can't get them all. You just try and get most of them. But still, they need to combine like that resin oven with a pressure cooker and then just sell that.
Good luck, kids.
And preferably don't buy it at your local fabric retailer store, because they will probably overcharge you.
They're going to overcharge you on that. I do love our local craft stores, but there are times where I'm like, does it really need to be that expensive?
I understand the need for profit.
Yeah.
But is it profit if nobody buys it? So I have a budget.
Yeah. And I'm not going to exceed that budget.
Exactly. There's only so much play I have in that budget. And if I go above it, I have to give up something.
There's a ceiling, and we are not going past that ceiling.
Yeah. I'm not asking for stuff to cost 50 cents, but I'm also asking for it not to cost $500.
Yes. And as a quick little side tangent on that, because I did go to the craft store today because Halloween things are on sale. High five. I also needed to pick up some new sealer, because I was just out of all of that. And I was like, I just need something. Apparently, Folk Art has gone down a little bit in price on their standard acrylics.
Yes.
I was like, oh, that's nice.
And Delta Ceram Coat has gone up.
Of course. You know, one and the other. Whoop.
Of course.
Of course. Duh.
It made me so sad, because of the things that I went in to purchase, they had one in stock.
Aww.
All of the others were out of stock.
Of course.
And it was like, you know, every time I go in, they have less and less of what I want. They're in store. It's all online.
It's all online.
It's like, no, I don't want to order it online because I don't want to have to wait like 3, 4, 6 weeks to receive it, especially if it's a craft that I'm working on now. What I was going for is for a craft I'm working on right now. So it's like, well, sorry, I guess I have to go to a different craft store to see if they have what I need in stock.
That's the convenience of having the local craft store there, so you could pick up the thing you need now. Right. I actually had that problem when I was trying to find sealer, because I was like, here are the rows of paints. Where are all the sealers? And I found this one tiny, tiny, tiny little section, which was really shocking. And they were all shoved together instead of being under the brand name. And there were only six options. Five of them were sprays. And I was like, what happened?
I needed little mirror tiles that are like about yay big, like 2x2, 3x3 inches.
Yeah.
They didn't have any.
That's a pretty common thing at Joann's.
Right. But they were out of them. All they had were 5-inch, which is larger than the surface on which I would be putting them, because I need a small reflective surface.
Huh.
So I was very sad. It took me a while to find out where they would have been in the store, too, because I've been in Joann's enough time that I know where stuff is.
Yeah, you kind of get used to the layout, even if it's a different Joann's or a different Michael's or different Hobby Lobby. You have a general sense of where everything is located.
Because certain items will be clustered with certain other items because they're used together. So like there's an adhesives aisle, which is where you would have been looking. There's a paints aisle. There's a knitting and crocheting aisle. There's a cross stitch aisle. So there's aisles for each one of these things. And then they have a hobby aisle, which is where they keep like doll making supplies, mask making supplies, leather working supplies. They have things like feathers and googly eyes and jingle bells and like the general hobby accessories. And that's like the miscellany aisle, so that if you ever need like craft supplies, they're on that aisle. They were not actually on that aisle.
Aww. Were they in someplace silly like jewelry?
No, they were with candles.
Oh.
They were for reflecting candlelight.
Okay. I would not put them there, but okay.
Yeah. Yeah, I looked in all of the places where it would have been, because occasionally they're with the doll making supplies, which are now in a different place. So, but anyways, that is not the cosplay update I have this week, because I actually have a cosplay update this week.
Yay!
It is not assembling my craft room, which my craft room is now fully assembled.
Oh, good!
It is not entirely fully populated. I think I have two more boxes that I haven't been able to put up, and that's just because I have no space. I ran out of space. And so everything else is up. I have 3 full peg boards worth of tools, sundry supplies. Both my craft bookshelves are assembled and completely full. All of my fabric boxes are up on their PVC pipe display. My craft table is out. I have my sewing machine ready. So all of that is now set up.
Great.
Yay.
Yay.
So I decided... one, I'm going to set Athena aside for now because it's just not making me happy to work on it. And that's okay to do. If cosplay is not making you happy, you can take a break. You can always set things aside perfectly fine. There are no rules to this. So I am working a little bit, which you'll see, like I have pieces of paper on which I have traced things. And you'll say, Amber, why did you trace this on paper? Why didn't you just print it out? The reason is because this is one of Kamui's patterns for gauntlets. And she and I are not the same size. And her pattern is made for her. So I'm going to have to take this and expand it. I just don't know how much yet. So I didn't want to trace it on foam until I've determined how large the pieces need to be to fit on my arms. Because I am bigger than her. And so I've traced, like... this piece, and then I have the little elbow cop piece. And I'm going to have to kind of MacGyver this together because the character that this is for, the pattern isn't quite what I need it to be, but that pattern does not exist.
Mm.
So I'm going to have to kind of hodgepodge this and see if I can make it look close, because it is armor, of course. I am getting back into armor making. And so I've also been tracing all of my little... if I put this on here so that you can see it.
Amber always has my little tell. Oh, there you go.
My finger armor pieces.
Neat.
I have to measure and I have to make the pattern. I'm drafting the pattern basically as I go. And I have to do each finger individually
Yes.
because the pieces aren't the same across all of my fingers. And even then, I may have to do it for each hand because I don't know how symmetric my hands are. I know for sure that my face is not, but I don't know if my hands are. And so I may end up having to redo this. I'm starting with my left hand. I may have to redo it for
For your
my
right
right.
hand,
It will
yeah.
be a pain in the butt because having to model these is so hard. Not many people have glove armor patterns for sale. And of those that do, a lot of them are like power glove style armor, which is that it has separate little knuckle pieces on it, in addition to the pieces that go around each of your segments. The armor that I'm making doesn't look like that. It looks more like traditional medieval knight armor, where you just have overlapping plates. And if you've ever seen somebody wearing actual, like, LARP medieval armor, really hard to move in. It's really
Yes.
hard to move your hands in and bend your fingers and do things like, eat and open doors. So I'm also having to take that into consideration because I don't want to have another problem where, like, when I had my Athena god armor, where I just literally could not move, I could not sit, I could not do anything because the armor was so stiff. Don't want to do that again.
Yeah, no, please don't do that to yourself.
Oh, I'm trying to engineer the joints and the overlapping of the armor plates so that I can still have movement in my hands and still have it look close. This is one of those things where it's like, it's anime.
Yeah.
They draw the seams on there, but they're not realistic seams, as in that's where they would go, nor does this character ever take this off.
Right.
So there's like no zipper seam, there's no Velcro, there's no elastic, there's no way that they could take it off, and I have to also like consider that. So I'm still in the drafting phase. I did end up finding out of my boxes all of my lovely scrap 2 millimeter armor
Yay.
plate foam. So I will be working with this. I haven't figured out yet how I'm going to paint it because I'm not supposed to spray paint on my patio anymore. So I may end up having to find one of those places where you can rent a room, like rent a craft room, and just do all my spray painting in there, or go to one of the local paint places, the workshop stores where they're like, "Hey, let's have a class and we'll teach you how to paint like Bob Ross." Like sometimes they'll rent out their space too. So I am working on that. I haven't figured out how far I want to go because I don't even know if this is the character that I want to be working on for sure next. So I also want to do the summoner from Fire Emblem Heroes because it's such a comfortable costume. There's no armor, it's all fabric, it's all drapey fabric. It's uber, uber comfortable, moves easily, probably not recognizable as the problem unless you're a Fire Emblem player.
There are a lot of Fire Emblem players, though, so you might be fine.
And then I was also looking at what I wanted to do with my Emperor Soraka fabric that I'm not going to do Emperor Soraka anymore for, is I wanted to do Tamamo no Mae from the Fate series, which is a fox demon. But she has a very elaborate kimono type dress. In fact, it's a kimono over a dress.
Okay.
But it would give me an opportunity to do that kind of. You remember the detail work we did on Vatu and Rava? It would be that.
Okay.
Because she has a very elaborate headdress, and all of the embroidery and such on all of her costume would give me like creative freedom.
Yeah.
It would just be warm as all get out to wear, which is why I can't really work on that one right now. It's just too hot
It's too
outside.
hot for
But
that.
those are kind of the three I'm toying around with, which I realize I didn't say the first one. It's Erza, another one of Erza's costumes from Fairy Tail. It's the Grand Magic Games outfit, which is just the purple jumpsuit, which I will make more modest. I'm not going to wear what she wore. I'm going to modify it. But it would be nice and easy for me to wear to cons, with the exception that she has armor from her fingertips all the way up to her
Her
elbows,
elbow.
basically. So it's not full armor. It's just the arms, but still. So yeah, that's basically what I'm starting to work on. I think airs is going to be easiest, which is why I'm doing the armor patterning first.
Gotcha. Well, I mean, and you know armor so well, so for you, even though you're having to
Yeah.
kind of pattern everything, you might actually have to do one set for
Yeah.
one hand and one set for another hand. I feel confident in you being able to whip that out in a pretty reasonable time.
Yeah. I will need to purchase gloves, like the gloves that go underneath the armor. But thankfully, they do make silver, like metallic silver gloves. And so it's the only thing I need to work out is, aside from the patterns, attaching it. Because for those cosplayers that are making armor pieces, learn from experience that others have had. Do not hot glue directly to the gloves that are on your body. For what I hope are obvious reasons, especially if it's high temp hot glue, don't expect that the gloves will insulate your skin.
They
They
won't.
don't. In fact, you can melt the fabric to your skin and end up in, the hospital or an emergency care clinic. So just no, please don't. Like, don't. Like, we've told you all, like, not to use hot glue with fabric, generally speaking, anyway. But I have to work out, like, how I'm going to attach this to the glove fabric and not use hot glue.
Well, and also,
That's
yeah, hot glue is
everything.
also not just between like if it's foam and foam, hot glue is great, but foam and fabric,
Yes.
hot glue does have a point where it fails. And
Yes.
especially since you want to be able to be dexterous, that hot glue
Yes.
is going to fail a lot sooner than later. So,
Hot glue does not flex well.
no.
I mean, it flexes a little
A
bit. It is
little.
plastic after all, but not like you need the human body to be able to flex. Which is why hot glue is generally like not good for that sort of use. Even if it's foam on foam, hot glue will still fail eventually there too if you flex it enough.
Yes.
It'll come apart. And I can speak from experience.
Yeah.
It does come
It
apart.
comes apart, yeah. Or it gets hot enough again. It melts.
Yeah, don't store it in the back of your car. You won't
No.
wash it when you pull it out. So those are my cosplay updates. Yay!
Yay! Well, I have nothing to share for cosplay updates because I have not had time to do diddly or squat because life sucks. So, the only thing that
But
I'm
you have
going
a new background.
to—I have a new background.
Yes, yay.
Yay! Look at this new background. Enjoy. It's better than the blurry mess from last time. Last time was terrible, but I didn't know what to do. No, the only thing I wanted to do was let people know that with our CosPod website, I had to make some slight changes to our security. Because just in general across the internet, not just us, just in general, there's been a high increase of bots spamming websites and trying to break into websites and all that type of fun stuff. So I've had to beef up our security settings quite a bit. So if it takes a teeny bit longer to load the web pages, sorry, it's security reasons. If you find that you can't access our website, sorry, our website may have determined that you were a bot on accident. Please let us know through our email, through our social media, and we'll double check that. So just mostly just an FYI. If things are running a little slow at our website's fine. It's just I had to beef up security lately because we've had so much traffic coming in on there that was not legitimate or safe traffic, and I'm trying to keep our website as safe as possible.
And you can always access our content through third-party websites like YouTube,
YouTube,
of course. And
iTunes.
you can go to any place that offers podcast feeds, and you can always get the show from there. Just if you need to access the show website itself, it might just take you a little bit more.
Just a t
That's all.
literally, if it even is an extra second longer, I would be surprised. But I know how sometimes it's like, I just went to this website 3 weeks ago and now it's taking forever to load, but forever is really like an extra second.
You can blame the bots.
It's the bot's fault. Sorry, guys. I'm just trying to keep our website safe. But yeah, we are literally everywhere on the internet. So I don't even know if our website comes up first anymore. I think it might be either YouTube or our Amazon Music account now, which is
I
funny.
think our YouTube comes up first.
Yeah. So yeah, that's all I have for cosplay stuff. Sorry, guys. I just have not had any energy to work on cosplay. I want to. I really want to, but I haven't had the energy, so and my craft room is still unavailable, thus the background.
All good. Well, shall we move into today's topic?
Yes, you go.
All right. So some of you may have seen the, I will call it viral video at risk of sounding not internet savvy, going around about the individual who may have purchased a costume from another cosplayer and then entered it in multiple competitions to try and win prizes, some of which included cash prizes. And they did end up winning some of those and then ended up placing in others. And so we wanted to discuss not the individual, because that's not the point, but more of the idea of purchasing a cosplay from somebody else and then representing it as your own work, particularly from the judge's point of view, because, you know, there's been a lot of conversation already in the community. And I think as cosplayers, I'm pretty sure we're all on the same page. Like, I don't want to speak for people, but I'm pretty sure that buying a costume is okay. Representing it as your own work, if you didn't actually do it, is not.
Right.
Slightly modifying it and still trying to represent it wholly as your own work, also not cool. And trying to represent it as your own work in competition is not cool. I'm pretty sure, like, as cosplayers, as a community, we can all agree on that.
Yeah,
so let's take it from the other side of the fence.
Yeah, there seems to be a general understanding, like, just don't do that. I know that there are some conventions where you could buy a costume and then heavily modify it. When I say heavily, I mean we're talking like 80 to 90% of the costume has been completely altered. Some contests do allow that.
Yes.
But that was not the case here.
Right. And so, again, just want to specify, buying costumes is okay.
Nothing wrong with that.
Yeah. And you can even enter it in competition. In fact, some competitions will have categories that do not include craftsmanship that you can enter it in. And this is also for things like skits and competition segments where they don't judge craftsmanship, because craftsmanship is kind of the whole point of this. And so we're looking at it from the point of judges, since we've both judged competition, and kind of our thought process when we're looking at a cosplay and determining, did this person actually make it, and are they telling the truth? Because I guess we'll start from the beginning, like just a general primer for contests when you go in, for those who haven't ever competed before. Also, we have panels on this. Please check out our YouTube. So when you enter a competition for craftsmanship, generally you'll have something called a portfolio, which is used for you to show the steps of your work that prove that you made this thing and here's how I made the thing. So you'll hand that over to the judges, or sometimes you'll email it to them and they'll have a chance to review that. And then you'll have a slot where you go in person and you will show them this costume represented in the portfolio and say, here's the actual costume. And they will go through and they'll evaluate the costume. They'll look at, as they colloquially say, your seams. They'll flip your seams.
We'll flip the seams.
Yep. They will look at basically the construction of the costume to make sure it is sound, that you didn't hot glue it together. This is why we tell you don't hot glue it together. If you do other accessorizing, so other disciplines like 3D printing, they will look at the quality of your printing. They'll look at the finishing. They'll look at embellishments. So if you embroider, they'll look at that. If you do armoring, they look at that. If you do prosthetics, they will also judge the quality of the prosthetics, how well they fit. In fact, they'll judge the fit of the costume while they're at it. And then if you do makeup, they will judge your efforts on that as well, because you're basically representing your skill level at these different things. And they will ascertain, like, how much did you succeed at what it is you tried to do. And then comparing that to other cosplayers, like, how successful. It's not so much like, were you better at makeup than this other person? It's more of, you represented this. How successful were you against that standard versus how successful were they against their standard? So that's kind of cosplay contest judging 101. And so when you go in, one of the things that they will ask you, in fact, I think a lot of places ask you on the entry form now, is, did you make this?
Yeah. Did you make it? Or how much of this that you made? Because even like, if depending on which category that you place yourself into, it has different requirements. Because usually beginners, it's like 40 to 50% you've had to made. Whereas if you are master's level or at the top level, advanced, whatever they call it, usually it's up to 90% or more.
And then if you commission it from somebody else, so if you paid someone else to make this costume that you are wearing, then there's also a place to specify that. And in some places, you can still enter that sort of costume in master's categories or the upper categories, as long as you are upfront that you did not make this and you are basically like modeling it on behalf of this other person who is the actual contestant.
Yeah, in situations like that, it really depends on the con, because not a lot of cons do this still. I know that we did it for all con, but it also had the big caveat of the person who made the costume is the one that is registering it and had to be there during prejudging and during the entire session, even the whole stage show too. Whereas it's like, okay, here is our model. Like, I made this, but I wanted someone else to model it. Like, so it really, really depends on the contest. So, 'cause there are some contests where like, yeah, you know, if you have a pre-made costume and you want to wear it, sure. But the person who made the costume also has to be in attendance because they would be considered the one eligible for the prize, not you, the model.
Right. Because realistically, you're judging on craftsmanship.
Right.
How well is it made? And so you're awarding the person who made it.
Made it.
And then as you go through the judging, they'll generally have your portfolio in front of them. So they'll be printed out or on an iPad or something so that they can look through and they will ask you questions.
Oh, yes.
And they will be very detailed questions based on your portfolio. It's not like, I mean, yes, they will generally ask you, like, tell me how you made this or tell me about the process. That's mostly just to get you started so they can start judging. Like they've had a chance to look at this. Judges are generally experienced enough to kind of understand like how you did it. So it's not for their benefit, but they'll start to ask you more pointed questions, deeper questions. Like, so tell me about the embroidery. Was this by machine or was this by hand?
Right.
Tell me about this lace that you used. Did you hand make the lace or did you purchase the lace? This 3D print, did you commission this from somebody else or did you finish it yourself? Did you use the bleach method? Did you sand it? Like, they'll start asking you all these really deep questions because it's based on expertise from the judge. But something to be said is that judges are not masters of all the disciplines. It would be really cool if we could be.
It's not possible.
Right. We're human. And so you'll have all these different entrants in a contest. I was about to say contestants for some reason. And they'll have all these different skill sets. And this is why whenever you're running a cosplay contest, you try and get judges across different disciplines. So you have everything covered. Since we're not masters in everything. But you'll have to judge like 3D printing and makeup and prosthetics and all of these other things. I mean, wig work is also something that a lot of people aren't masters at, but you have to judge people's skill levels, and sometimes the people that you're judging, their skill level's higher than yours,
right?
And you're still like in your position of judge, you're still having to rank the contestants. And so as you're going through the portfolio and you're asking them these questions, one, yes, you're checking to see how they did it and is their skill reasonable for what they're claiming it to be? But also, are they telling the truth?
Yeah. Because I don't think people are aware of the fact that when it comes to cosplay contests, it is 100% an honor system.
Yes.
It is not possible for the convention or for the judges to check what each and individual entry has been doing with their costume for the last X number of years across the country, knowing that there are hundreds of thousands of conventions to check across, and not all conventions post the results of their cosplay contest. So,
right.
That might not be the case anywhere else, but just at least here in the United States, we go off of the honor system because it is impossible for us to really check what each cosplayer is doing with their costume.
Right. And I had mentioned before that sometimes the cosplayers, the contestant's skill is higher than yours. If it's of a sufficient level higher than yours, you may not be able to tell whether or not they're telling the truth that they made this or not. Just because it will be of a very high quality and comparable to something, say, you'd buy on the internet.
Mm-hmm.
Especially where it comes to things like casting and 3D printing, because you can always buy those things on the internet, but you can also print really good ones and finish them off really well.
Mm-hmm.
So the judges, I guess what we're saying TLDR, is the judges are doing the best that they can with the knowledge that they have and the information that they're presented. Because even if you present a portfolio that says, here's how I made it, here are the steps. I mean, cosplayers post that stuff on the internet all the time. If somebody really wanted to steal that and represent it as their own, they could.
Mm-hmm.
And judges don't have the time or the resources to go out and look for the source of all these photos and see if you stole it from somebody else's account. So, like Val said, it's very much the honor system, both on the judges and on the contestants. So I would say, as happened in this case with a lot of the cons, if you know something is wrong, then please say something about it. Because the judges may just not know.
Mm-hmm.
And that said, that is also on the honor system. Don't falsely report somebody is cheating. I mean, it's equally as bad to have somebody cheat by stealing somebody else's work as their own,
mm-hmm.
as it is, I think, to falsely report someone as cheating and misrepresenting their work if they didn't actually do it. Because that also has, like, complications down the road. It can ruin reputations. It reflects badly on the con. It causes unnecessary drama.
Yeah.
Like, just don't. We have enough drama in our community, frankly.
Yeah. It's one of those where if you want to bring it to attention for the convention or the cosplay mm-hmm. contest staff, make sure that mm-hmm. you have proof, that you have resources, that you could say, okay, I know for certain that X person cheated because I have this, and proof. Just something to kind of back it up so that way your story can actually be corroborated and can be thoroughly researched. If you just say, I think this contestant cheated and don't have anything else behind it, you're putting mm-hmm. a lot of the onus on top of the cosplay staff to try to figure it out. They have day jobs, they go to school, what have you. And it's going to take a lot longer to try to figure out a resolution, if a resolution can even be figured out at that point. Once a convention is done, it's almost like out of sight, out of mind.
And generally it's preferred if you have objection, try and take it up privately with the con first.
Yes.
Maybe don't make a giant TikTok about it and post that, or, you know, make a giant like public deal of it first. Like, obviously we're not going to stifle free speech.
No.
But it's better to try the private method first. And if that does not work, then that's up to you what you do after that. But like, piling on drama is unhelpful.
Yeah.
If it is true.
Yeah. It's one of those where it's like, if somebody had cheated in a costume contest,
mm-hmm.
genuinely, the staff and the judges probably have no clue about it. Right. And if I have, in all of our years of experience of doing contests and judging and whatnot, mm-hmm. everyone that we have ever worked with has always been like, okay, if something is wrong, we want to get to the bottom of it and find the resolution mm-hmm. as quickly as possible. So people will generally want to go and fix it. And if somebody comes to us in private, like, yeah, we'll do our mm-hmm. absolute best to make sure that we get the truth and we mm-hmm. resolve the issue. So I think pretty much is just in general, everybody would be on board with that. I don't think anybody would immediately shut down and say, nah, that didn't happen, and just brush it off. Because we know that that's a big hit on how people are going to view our event mm-hmm. from here on out. We want people to trust us and ensure that when they enter, it's going to be a fair competition.
Mm-hmm. It also impacts the judges and staff if they end up going to other cons
mm-hmm.
or get invited to other cons, because generally speaking, all cons want to have a fair competition experience. So they want to get qualified judges and qualified staff, and they want to have a good framework of rules that everybody has to follow. And so once drama starts somewhere, it can be really hard for those folks to get invited to other places to help them out too.
Mm-hmm. Especially when it's generally drama, they don't have any hand in. It's just like, I'm part mm-hmm. of this mess too, but I didn't start any of it. It just happened.
Right. And it impacts them. And generally it's considered prestigious to
yeah.
get an invite to judge at a con. So mm-hmm. that's something you want as a cosplayer. And if it gets damaged outside of your control, then that just makes it all the more discouraging.
Mm-hmm.
And something else to consider is that a lot of cons with their prizes don't necessarily have any riders in the forms that you sign to compete that say, well, you know, if you're found to be cheating, we're going to take the prize back from you. Because cons don't really have a way of enforcing that. For one, it's not like it's not a criminal matter, in other words. They can't have law enforcement retake property. Like, it's a civil matter. Once you give away the prize, like, it's that person's unless they're willing to give it back. And so if somebody cheats, there's really not much the con can do about it. And to a point, they know that. And so that's why you won't, like, if somebody were to win a $2,000 cash prize fraudulently, then yeah, a lot of people are going to be upset. But there's not much the con can do about that unless the person, like, has a conscience, frankly. And a lot of cons, like, don't even have the resources to give out large prizes like that. So it'll be like a $100 prize, a $50 prize. It's like at that point, yeah, the cheating is bad, but is it worth the drama and the potential, like, dangerous situations that can result if you try and go after $50, if you try and go after, like, DVD sets or whatever the prize happens to be? All you can really do is just ban that person from competing at your con ever again. And then if you have relationships with other cons, you can tell them. But not every con does that because they don't have those relationships with other cons. And so that's why you may see individuals doing this repeatedly at con, at con, at con, at con, because you have to share that information so that those cons can also stop those people from competing. But even then, they have to do their due diligence too and make sure that it's not like somebody who has a beef with that person and they'll go complain to con B and say, hey, you know, this person was cheating. They shouldn't be allowed to compete at your con when no cheating actually took place. So, like, they'd actually have to look into it too. And that it gets to be a little much for cons that have very low staffing, very low resources. Like, they're already working their butts off, frankly. Because we've done it as a cosplay contest staff section. It's like it's already so much to run the contest. Like, we don't ever want to have to deal with that kind of stuff ever.
There's only so many people hours that we have available for anything cosplay related, and we just don't have the hours for it.
Right. Plus, that starts drama in and of itself, because if you have to start asking questions of people, people talk. And so, of course, it'll eventually get back to that person, like, oh, why is that con asking things about me? Like, this is discrimination. And then that opens up a whole can of worms that no con wants.
TLDR, just be mindful.
And have a little grace for the judges who genuinely just may not know.
I think that's the biggest question that came out of this that I saw quite often was, like, how did the judges not know? And it's like, well, it could be that the person that they were judging was very good about lying and they knew enough of the techniques and the words that they were able to lie their way through the entire presentation that the judges were like, okay, you convinced me. And sometimes that happens. As we mentioned before, judges can't check every single cosplay entrant and their entire social media history, figure out what conventions they have or haven't been to, what their winning history has been. It's just not feasible when they only have 3 to 5 minutes with you in a room before they have to talk to the next contestant, if they even have that much time available to them. So they have to do their best to make a quick decision based off of the information that they have been provided. Honestly, for them, the best thing that they can do is just continually ask questions of the contestant about what techniques did they use. Like, how did you do this? How did you do that? Do you have sometimes what I've done in the past is when I see somebody who's done search seams, I'll ask them, what sewing machines do you have? Because that's actually a very quick way to figure out whether or not they bought their costume. Because if they say, oh, I have this, and it's a serger, then I'm like, okay, you probably use that to do all of your seams on the inside. Cool, that makes sense. Whereas if somebody you point out that they've done a French seam, and they're confused as to what that means. Already, that's in my head pinging. They may not be completely truthful about what they're saying. So every judge pretty much knows at this point, like you have to ask a lot of questions to try to get as much out of the cosplayer as possible in that very, 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 very tiny, tiny, tiny time frame that you have.
And the judges have to be careful of accusations.
Yes.
Because even if while you're judging, you have those red flags in your head, unless you have proof, like, there's only so much that you can do. Like, you could try and disqualify the contestant, but again, unless you have proof, it's kind of the same thing about, like, an outside contestant making the same accusation of cheating. It opens the con up to accusations of malpractice and, you know, bad behavior and that sort of thing. And it also, like, tarnishes the contest itself, because it'll make it look like, oh, well, the judges play favorites, or worse, the judges don't know what they're doing. And that impacts people wanting to compete at that con. And it's hard enough getting people to compete sometimes mm-hmm. in cosplay contests, because it's very stressful, takes a lot of time and resources. Yeah. And so it's already kind of difficult to persuade people, like, hey, this is fun, this is good, this is good-natured competition. Especially when things blow up like this.
Yeah. So Going Ape has a really good comment. You can't look at, mm-hmm. at the thing in hindsight, knowing that the person cheated, and then ask how we didn't know. Very true. You were not there in that moment and in that situation. You don't know what mm-hmm. was said. You don't know how the conversation went on. You don't know how the judges looked at the costume and looked at the portfolio. So it's easy mm-hmm. to lay blame afterward in hindsight without actually having been there in the present moment.
Hindsight's always 20/20 anyway, yes. because like if somebody points it out to you after the fact and you're like, oh man, why didn't I see that?
Yeah.
And it's like, well, yeah, but that goes for everything in life. It's not just for cosplay competitions. If someone points something out to you, it's like, oh yeah, I didn't see that in the moment because I was concentrating on other things.
Mm-hmm.
That's life, unfortunately.
Yeah, especially when it doesn't matter if it's a bigger or small event, but when you are mm-hmm. a judge in that judging room, you have so many different aspects of costume that you're focusing on. And because you're having to shift contestants every 2-3 minutes, your brain right. is constantly firing in so many different directions that mm-hmm. you wish you had the power of hindsight, but it is just impossible. Yes.
And I think that's such a huge thing that some folks may not understand, is you're having to do all of this in 2 minutes. You have to judge the entire costume, inside and out, all of those disciplines, all of that stuff in 2 minutes flat. And then you get maybe like 1 or 2 minutes between contestants to like frantically write down your notes on the judging form.
If you're lucky.
That's all you have. Right. Because some cons don't even have that. You basically have to do it in the moment. Everything is so fast, and you're having to go through dozens of contestants that sometimes it just kind of blurs together a bit. I'm sorry.
It really does. Because there have been a couple of situations where by the end of the day, and I think this may have been A-Fest when I had this happen, mm-hmm. where it was like mm-hmm. we had 2 days for judging. One, it was half one afternoon and then half in the morning, and then the contest was that evening. Mm-hmm. Even still, with all of those 60 contestants, both of those days, I just felt flat out exhausted.
Mm-hmm.
It was so much to take in, and just being on top of all of it, I was like, oh my God, my brain is going to melt. It is a lot.
It does. I mean, it's exhausting after the end of the first day.
Yeah.
And then you have to go into the second day and you have to do the exact same thing.
And then be
over again.
Pretty for a contest afterwards. And you're like, oh. Right. This is why you'll see a lot of judges wearing normie clothes during those days. Because
yes.
it is just, plus it's easier to crawl around on the ground if we want to look at your armor on your feet or something.
Yes. Because the judges will generally move around
yes.
you.
Yes.
As opposed to you moving around. But also, like, you're still judging during the contest.
Mm-hmm.
There are still criteria that have to be judged while you are on stage.
It's a stage presentation.
So you actually get, exactly, you get judged twice in total. You get one up close and one on the stage. And so the judges are still exhausted and they're still having to do judging, but now they're having to do it from like 20, 30 feet away.
Yeah.
And it's also still like 2 minutes, because each presentation, in fact, if it's just the catwalk version, you get 30 seconds. That's it. If it's the skit, then you get 2.5 minutes.
Yeah. Again, depending
but
on the convention.
Still, it's still a very, very short period of time.
It goes like this. It It's funny because when you're sitting in the audience, sometimes it feels like a cosplay contest can drag on forever. But when you're sitting at the judges table, and even if you're cosplay staff, it goes like this, because, and it's probably because you've prepared so long for it that it's just like, mm-hmm. Phew, fly by, and you almost blink and it's gone.
I mean, it still does feel like as a judge that it goes on forever.
Sometimes
it does.
Individual
contestant flies
by. Sometimes it does.
Yeah. Because there are just so many contestants.
Sometimes it's just a big pool.
So I guess what we're saying in all of this is we're not excusing any of the behavior of the person that allegedly did this. And, like, barring anything, like, just full stop, buying someone else's work and representing it as your own is wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Just don't. So, you know, setting that as the bar, we're also saying, please understand that judges are not deities. Please give them a little bit of grace. If they don't catch this stuff, let's all work together to improve the system so that this stuff can't happen in the future, so that we can all have fun, fair competitions in cosplay.
At some point, if you try and do that,
I think we can agree on that. Somebody who recognizes that work is going to say something.
Yes.
You can't get away with cheating forever, so it's better just to not start. Be honest up front. Say it's somebody else's work. You're not penalized for having admitted that it was somebody else's work up front. You may not get craftsmanship points for it, depending on like the con and the category mm-hmm. and the kind of contest that you're competing in. But it's so much better for your reputation, just to be honest.
Oh, yeah. And you know what? You still may actually be eligible for a prize, depending on the convention's rules. Because it could be, you know, hey, these pieces on this part of the costume, I didn't make it, but the other 60%, I did. You know, that's totally fine. And that's why you'll very rarely see a con have like 100% rule, because we obviously didn't build our wigs from scratch, nor did we cobble our shoes. We may have heavily modified them, but like most people don't cobble shoes. So,
And the same thing goes for like hats and that sort of thing. Like we don't expect you to make 100%. But there are also prizes for things like stage performance.
Yeah.
So even if you don't get a craftsmanship award, you can still win awards, because they have plenty of other awards. And actually, some of the most memorable cosplays we've ever seen were closet cosplays.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
But the person who wore it and did their stage presentation did such a magnificent job that we wanted to give them a prize just for that.
Mm-hmm.
Even though they weren't eligible for the craftsmanship prizes, we still wanted to give them something.
Yeah.
So we did.
Stage presentation could be a huge make or break deal.
Mm-hmm. And sometimes like those are the talk of the contest afterward, more so than some of the craftsmanship ones.
Mm-hmm.
But if you cheat, then you're definitely the talk of the convention and not the way that you want to be.
That's not the kind of popularity you want to be known for, my dudes.
No.
My dudes and my ladies.
But speaking of the conversation of the convention, of course, if you would like to join in the conversation that we've just been having about passing off work as your own, feel free to join in via any of our social media, which of course you could find here.
For those of us who are watching, everything's located underneath Amber, right over there. You can't miss it. For those who are listening, visit us at cospod.org, where it might be 1 second slower. Visit us on Facebook and Instagram at Cosplay Podcast, on YouTube at CosPodcast, and on Blue Sky as CosPod.
Or if you don't want to worry about any sort of delay, you can always email us, podcast@cospod.org, where you'll get an answer from each one of us, along with curated Nick Cage memes, and Halloween is coming.
Yes, they are Halloween ready. I made sure to get a bunch of Ghost Riders ready to go.
Yes. But otherwise, please stay safe, stay healthy out there. Stuff is going around left and right with school starting. Keep working on with cosplay so that we can all see your smiling, shining faces at a convention local to us ASAP. Otherwise, we will see you all next time in episode 298. Happy cosplaying, everybody. Bye-bye.
Bye.